Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Everybody good? Fist bump somebody. Lay it on them. You know, I appreciate what Taylor said, I think. I think he's right about series. It's Mother's Day. You need to speak about mothers. Hey, it's those, that kind of thing is what I'm less pumped about. But the series part, because I feel like I've been, no offense to mothers. I love mothers. Did that come out like that? Because you're a mother. Multiple mothers. Girl mother. You're going to be a girl dad. I'm just starting to ease into that girl dad thing. But Sandy's here, y'all. Got to give the people what they want, Sandy. But I have been on a 42-year... It is a journey, but it's interesting because this whole faith thing that we live by, the just live by faith, that our faith is what pleases God. And so you have to understand, we've got an adversary, we have an enemy, and he's the devil. So if our faith is what pleases God, and if he's the adversary, he's going to become the adversary to our faith. He's going to become the adversary to us taking a stand of faith or a step of faith or launching into the fight of faith. That's what he's going to do. So what's interesting is that God's always faithful. I've never experienced, ever in my life, in 42 years, I've never experienced God not performing his will and his word in my life. Whether it's, no matter what it is, whether it's healing, whether it's provision, whether it's peace, whatever, okay? And in understanding that, it's our faith is what triggers that. Our faith triggers God's faithfulness. God's always faithful, but our faith opens our lives up to us receiving from God. The Bible says a double-minded man, meaning a man that's saying, in this breath I'm speaking faith, but in this breath I'm proclaiming doubt or unbelief or something that counters what I'm believing God for. And it's basically what I see or things that I've heard or experienced or how I feel. You know, it's so amazing. Our feelings, our emotions are so amazing because, man, our emotions are impacted by how we sleep and who we talk to and what we've watched on regarding video or what we've heard. But that what we eat affects our emotions, the whole thing. And we look at that and we think, wait a second, why would I want to eat something that is going to have an effect on the faith that I'm going to be able to stand in and walk in and war in? You know, the Word of God, I was just reading today, and I was just thinking, this the Bible is just such an incredible document. It really is. There's no way a man or a group of men could have put it together. And I understand through history that it's canonized and there's books that are there and books that people, you know, whatever people's opinions are. But I'm just telling you, I was reading in Hebrews. I was talking to Pastor Jeff Perry earlier this evening, and so I started reading. He quoted Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, and I read 37 and 38, and after I talked to him, and what's interesting is that God has no pleasure when we back off or when we draw back. So if the devil, the adversary to our soul, the adversary to our life, the adversary to, and here's what's interesting. He can't jack with our heaven unless we reject Jesus. He can jack with our earth, with what's happening here. What's hard is I think tradition and religion have made our life on this earth, really, it's not that big a deal. It's really this, and then there's an eternity, and eternity is what matters. It's not, and I don't believe that. What we do on this earth absolutely matters forever. And what Jesus did. And we're like him. What Jesus did on this earth impacted eternity. So I believe my life impacts eternity. I believe your life impacts eternity. Jesus, I look at some things. It's the woman that the prophet came to her and she said, "Well, we've got nothing. My husband's dead. He served your God." And he said, "What do you have?" She said, "Nothing but this little cruse of oil." And he told her, he said, "Listen, you start gathering things. We're going to start pouring that oil. That oil's going to pour until you stop gathering things." And she did, but she had to gather. And as soon as they reached the limit on what they could gather, the oil stopped. I mean, that oil would still be running today if she'd have kept gathering containers. And that's what's interesting. You understand that Adam and Eve were never supposed to die. I mean, it's an incredible concept. It really is that they would never die. And so Jesus became the second Adam. So now when we're identified with him and we're hidden in Christ, we never die. And if that's off the table, like what, why would I allow the enemy to jack with my life on this earth when he can't play a part in eternity? We can't be people that can ever draw back. And it's interesting because I'm taking the fight to the darkness with the light. But my personal stand is that it's a stand. So when that fight comes to me, I'm not budging. I'm not going to flinch. I'm not going to cower. I'm not going to budge. And I think that's happening in people's lives, and I'm getting a lot of calls and people asking about different things that are just rumors. A lot of it's just rumors. And when I say rumor, it might even be something that we're thinking, well, this is what they're legislating or what's coming down the road. But right now it hasn't gotten to my house. I mean, if I didn't have a cell phone and I didn't have a television, you guys could talk about things that I would have no idea about. It would have no effect in my life. Well, there's something amazing about that. I mean, please understand that. There really is something amazing about that. You know, and it's interesting because years ago I watched this documentary on the mafia. And for a long time, for years, the mafia was nobody knew who they were. Nobody knew what they did. They did what they did, but it was undercover. It was out of sight. And then there were some movies that came out. I think one in particular, a movie that came out, and I think it was famous actors, and this movie came out, and they portrayed the mafia. They portrayed these mobsters, and they portrayed them on the screen. And it was such a big hit that the mafia began to act like and dress like and talk like those actors did in the movie, where reality imitated art. And I'm telling you, that's still happening today in our lives. They want the church to imitate what's being projected. It's a subtle little ploy. And I'll tell you what God's done is God has, I believe, somehow the church, the veil's been lifted again. And it's like, oh my gosh, we see it clearly. But understand, once we see it, we still have to live by faith. We still have to walk by faith. We still have to war by faith. Even though we see, even though it's like, oh, this is an easy choice for me, but we still have to take that stand of faith. And so let me tell you, it's the title of my message tonight, I guess, which I'm really not good at. If I'm not good at the stuff that we talked about at the beginning of the service, I'm really not good at titling message. But this one is tested faith. It's not faith until it's tested. It really isn't. It's not, you're not a fighter until you've been in a fight. You're not a ball player until you've been in a game. You're not, I mean, the whole idea is that I remember when we, it was back in the early 90s, like 1990 or 1991, and somehow I was with some coaches from Kiefer. And Kiefer decided that they were going to play an alumni football game against Taft, this prison in Taft. And, you know, we'd all seen The Longest Yard, the first one, and, you know, and it's like, okay, that doesn't end well for the good guys. So, so these coaches invited me to come play, and I thought, I'm young. You know, it's like in my mid-30s, it'd be easy, that's easy. And I hadn't played football in years. And I'm telling you, they had practices and stuff, and I didn't go to them. And then they played in the game, and I remember the first hit. And it was this guy that was like a 4x4, it was his size. And he was a fullback, and he hit the A-gap, and I met him in the A-gap. And I tackled him. I thought, oh, my gosh, somebody said good play. And, I mean, I was going like this because it's like I forgot how loud it was in that helmet. I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, I want to go sit down for a minute. But understand that we can watch games all the time, and we can do things, and we can see people, and it's like, oh, we can be so critical. But let me tell you something, man, nothing matters until your faith is tested. That's when it matters. And that's what separates the men from the boys in the kingdom, is the trying your faith works patience, the testing. See, what we've got to do is we've got to understand there's great reward if we don't lose our confidence, if we don't lose our hope. So here Jesus is in Luke, the 5th chapter, in the 4th verse, and he tells these guys, he says, listen, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And he said, and you're going to have a catch. You're going to, and that's all he said. And then Peter said, well, we've been fishing all day, all night, and we've caught nothing. But he said something that is an amazing statement that needs to be the statement of our lives. He said, nevertheless, at your word. It looks bleak. Are you kidding? This is crazy. We've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, I'm telling you, my experience, my everything. Jesus wasn't as experienced as a fisherman that Peter was. And Peter had partners, and they had caught nothing. And game over. They were done. And they said, nevertheless, at your word. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when they'd done this, the catch was just extreme. And we look at this, and it's like, wait a second. This is the model for our lives. You know, it really is. The model for our lives is nevertheless at your word. This is how it looks. This is what the diagnosis is. This is what everybody's saying. This is what the trend is. I see nobody else standing where I'm standing, and this is a stand that I'm taking. What do I do? Having done all to stand, you stand there for. And you're not standing alone. Write this down. You're never standing alone. Even though that stand is a lonely, that stand is so lonely, it's crazy, yet you're never standing alone. And we've got to look at that in Romans. I think the 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse. For what if some didn't believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God of no effect? See, it doesn't. It doesn't affect God's faithfulness, even though others don't believe. See, it's interesting because T.L. Osborne, he late in his life, I became friends with T.L. Sandy and I, would have lunch with him at a restaurant, and I still go to that restaurant thinking, man, I wish I could have one more lunch with TL. But he wrote a book on 100 things regarding God's healing or something, and the first two were that people you might have been taught that that sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't, or you might have been taught that God puts sickness on his children. And, you know, both of those things are complete error, but I know people teach that. I think they still teach it, but years ago, 50 years ago, people taught it a lot. And And so is unbelief, does it make God's faithfulness of no effect? And in verse 4, Paul writes, says, absolutely not. Let God be true and every man be a liar. See, and so what's he saying? He's not calling out liars. What he's saying is God's true. God is always true, no matter what. As it's written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you're judged. And see, that's the key. What happens when your faith is tested is that faith causes you to overcome. I mean, look, that you think about that. It's like, okay, the idea of this is, he said that you're justified in your words, and then God, you overcome when you are judged. See, so when you stand on God's word or have faith in God's word, it's ultimately God being judged. It's God being tested. So God's always faithful. It's like, oh my gosh, God always delivers. See, what's interesting is when I take a step of faith, I always think about that as me being receptive to God. But when God's faithful, God's delivering, God's giving out. And when I'm in faith, but let me tell you, it's both of them are the same. Both of them take the same direction. Both of them, God's on the offensive, I'm on the offensive. See, it moves me from where I am. In James 2:14, it says, what does it profit, brethren, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have any works? And see, it's so amazing that we still get in these petty arguments, just like James must have. Petty arguments that whose faith is stronger. And all he said was, he said, you show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. You show me your faith by the pontification of your life, and I'll show you my faith by the fruit of my life and what happens in my life and what the impact of my life. And see, the bottom line of you understanding whether you're in faith or you're not in faith, the bottom line is this. The bottom line is the fruit. That's the bottom line. That's part and parcel. That's the whole thing, is the fruit of your life. If the fruit's not playing out, and let me tell you, God's always faithful. God always delivers. But let me tell you, there's demonic activity. And if you've got this little sidecar of demonic activity that's rolling in life with you, and you're looking at, man, I'm doing everything, but I've got this. No, you know what? You've got to eradicate that stuff. I'm telling you, we've got to do so much. The Bible uses terms like rebuke the devil and cast him out. Rebuke means to make public humiliation of. Man, that we're rebuking the devil, we're making public humility, we're casting him out, we're getting him out of our life, we're getting him out of our home. We're not placating, we're not playing with any of it. Because it's gonna hinder the flow, the spiritual flow of our life. Bad company corrupts good morals. I believe that's in the people that are in your life, I believe that that's in the spiritual activity of your life. And see, we've gotta understand that. James also writes, he said, look, if you see your brother naked or destitute of daily food, he said, what are you going to do? You're going to call yourself a Christian? One says, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and doesn't give them anything what they need. What does it profit people? See, the idea of our life, the faith of our life has to include other people. Has to include other people. Faith without works, what James wrote, it said faith without works is dead. It's dead faith. It's faith with no life in it. It's just us carrying around. It's an old medal of faith. It's an old trophy of faith. There's no fulfillment in that. See, we have to understand, when we're on track, our faith is going to be tried. Our faith is going to be tested. It's all about our faith life. I've referred to a conversation Sandy and I have had a few times, and I've heard her answer people, that well, wait a second, this is spiritual. Everything's spiritual. And so I think about that. I think, okay, everything's spiritual. And then I look at the walk of faith and the war and the life of faith that we live. And the bottom line is the spiritual aspect of this. Man, we win there. Everything else falls into place. I believe behind every natural law, there's a spiritual dynamic. And, you know, I don't really buy into the notion of territorial spirits. I don't. I believe that there has been demonic impact over areas through people. I do believe that. And so that might be contradictory. So maybe it is a territorial spirit thing, but it all works through people. And so people, when we come in, man, we make a difference in the atmosphere, in the spiritual dynamic of wherever we were. So if you're thinking, man, I bought this house and they said it was haunted or somebody passed away in it, I don't care. Man, we're bringing new life into it. Man, God redeem me. God can redeem that house. I mean, my goodness, when I go into that house, when I buy that house is redeemed. And see, and we have to understand that. James said, you show me your faith. He said, you have faith. And he said, I have works. And he judged people's faith by the works of their life, the fruit of their life, the production of their life would be a way that we could translate that from the second chapter of James. But moving on from there, we understand that in this, even demons tremble. See, so I look at it, I'm thinking, okay, my faith's going to take a shot. So I take a step of faith, I'm going to take a shot. I take a second step of faith in that same direction, demons are going to tremble. See, that's where the victory is, that we're going to continue to walk. We're going to continue to progress through this. See, I think there's kind of a little wordplay that goes in for me, is that people say, well, you got to be in the process. If this is processing, I don't look at things that way. I look at it's got to be progress, not just process. It's a procession or it's a progression. I want things to progress. I want to take ground, and I don't care if it's little by little. I'm telling you, whether it's you with your finances, whether it's you with your health, it might be you with your with your weight or in your marriage or whatever. It's man, you keep taking those steps, and you know what? It may be baby steps at first. But what do? You keep taking those steps. You keep taking new ground. Because the bottom line, that's what it is. I ruined the punch on that. That every step that we take is ground that we're taking. And it's about taking ground or losing ground. And what happens to you when your faith is tested? What happens in you? How do you emotionally respond to it? What's your thought life like? When your faith is tested, when you look at something, you think, there's no way this is going to work out. This is not going to end well for anybody. And you think, wait a second, find that in the Word. You look at the Word where it's not going to end up well, and let me tell you, you can take it to the bank. But if it's not, see, I believe that every promise in God's Word is offensive. It progresses us. See, that's why, here's what's interesting, and this is the main coaching that I want to give you tonight, that what you do when your faith is tested is Romans 12:1, where Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So now, what do I have to do? I've got to renew my mind. See, renew your mind and appropriate what God has already provided. See, we look at the beginning, at the very beginning in Genesis. God created everything Adam and Eve needed for incredible life forever. Everything was already set before they stepped foot on the earth. Well, the way God does anything is the way God does everything. God is a God of protocol. God is the God of precedent. He set a precedent with Adam and Eve that everything they needed, he'd already provided before they even needed it. The same holds true in your life. See, so what we've got to understand now is that my faith brings the appropriation of those things into play in my life now. See, that's the way I look at it. The way I look at it is that God's not just my ally. God is my Father. God is my Creator. Jesus isn't just Lord of my life. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's the example of the heir that I am. See, I'm the inheritor of the kingdom by example of the same that Jesus is. I'm a joint heir with him. The exact same condition on the will of God and the inheritance that Jesus has is what I have. And see, so now my faith appropriates what God's already provided. See, God's already provided health for you. God's already provided peace for you. God's already provided prosperity for you. God's provided wealth for you. And you're like, well, wait a second. Everything. God said, look, partake of all this, but don't touch this tree. And I'm telling you, if you're not wealthy, it's because you keep going back to that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you're sickly, it's because you go back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you don't have peace in your life, if you're depressed, you're going back because you're eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and not the tree of life. The tree of life is everything that we have need of, every single thing. So what's the devil going to do? The same thing he did with Adam and Eve. And you know what, man, the guys in the room can say, yeah, you know what, Eve's the one that was tempted. And let me tell you something, Adam just followed suit. So now what has happened for thousands of years? Because of guilt, because of shame, because of discomfort, because of maybe family things and other things that men have followed women, men have followed people just like this all through life and been about whatever the devil wants to beckon them to do. And see, we've got to understand that what the world needs is the world needs a strong church. The church needs strong families. Families need strong men. I'm telling you, that's where it all boils down to. And I'm just telling you, it's been 40 or 50 years of my life that I've seen that the devil little by little has taken wax at men and has denounced the power and men need to settle and toxic men, masculinity. And I'm telling you, we've got to wake up to it. Man, women, you want a man with bravado. You want a man with machismo, whatever you want to call it. You really do. See, what's interesting, Roger Walsh helped me 15 or 18 years ago at a marriage retreat that we did as a church when the Renaissance first opened. And we rented a big ballroom and everybody stayed there. And we had an incredible event, and it all boiled down to one thing that Roger said. Roger got up and said, it boils down to this. Paul said, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband, which is right. And he went and he said, okay, that's what it boils down to. And the reason that is because wives love their husbands naturally, and husbands submit to their wives naturally. And you'll say, oh, wait a second. No, Adam submitted to Eve. And see, we have to look at it. There's order. There's a rhythm to life. There's a flow in life, but things have to be in order. That the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel, but to set at liberty. We've got to set at liberty. There's got to be that mold has to set, that concrete has to set. To set at liberty those who are held captive. Now, we've got to set that in place. And I believe what's required are set men. Because Jesus said, all authority's been given me in heaven and in the earth. And then he said this. He said, therefore, go. And he said, make disciples of every nation. It's about the disciplines of the faith. That's what the key is. It's about that I'm a disciple. So I'm disciplined to eat of that tree that I'm supposed to eat of and not the one that I'm not supposed to eat of. Man, I'm telling you, the way the world's going, it's an orchard of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everywhere you look, if you go by the way of the world. See, that's why I think it's important, especially today. I mean, you can dial up any preacher on the planet, I'm sure. But Paul warned, he said, don't be of many teachers. He said, there's a lot of teachers, but not a whole lot of fathers. Not a lot of fathers. I mean, who, you have to look at this, and I'm telling you where I am spiritually as a father in this house. And that's how Sandy and I boil it down to. This is a house, and we're fathering this house. And it's that the key thing now, see, I believe in your 20s is your educational time. And I understand that you go to school until you get that age. So I'm not talking about education as schoolwork, the ABCs. I'm talking about the education of life is in your 20s. And then in your 30s is the developmental time. And then the 40s is when you start ramping your life up at your wealth-bearing time. And then 50s and 60s and beyond. But let me just tell you, why is that? Because in your 40s, man, your kids are growing. And in your 50s and 60s, you're having grandkids. And you have to be thinking about legacy. You have to be thinking about the inheritance you're going to leave. And I'm not talking about a financial inheritance. I'm talking about a ministry inheritance. That's why we say things like, man, we give ministry away. Man, that's everything we want to do. Why? Because you get a taste of the inheritance that God has for you in this house. See, it's interesting because it takes longer than a 30-minute message for you to understand the idea of the inheritance of ministry that's here, the possibilities that are here. That nobody in here has got to start, and nobody in here has to excavate and pour a foundation. Man, the foundation's been laid. It's set. Nobody's got to brand the church. The brand is set. Man, so what now? We just build on it. Man, we just keep building. We just keep building. And you get to make plans. You get to draw them up. You get to believe God for the resources, the materials, and you get to build. Because the Bible says God Himself has given gifts unto men, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. The equipping of the saints. Man, that hopefully you're equipped now with the word where something you face, there's this abutment that's in the path of your life. And it's messing with your little journey, and you're like, yeah, nevertheless, at your word. No, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, go get in the boat, go to the other side. What happened? A storm happened. Jesus didn't say, hey, go get in the boat, and that storm's going to kill you. But you know what? They woke him up. And they're saying, we're going to perish. You know why? Because they didn't live their life saying, nevertheless, at your word. Whatever you're facing right now, nevertheless, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up, that what are we building? We're building the body of Christ is what we're building. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Man, think about that. Man, go meditate on that for a little while and begin to teach that to your children. Your 3-year-old, your 4-year-old, your 5-year-old, your 6-year-old. Man, the times now where their minds are like sponges. Man, don't put them a You don't need a break from your kids where you put a Paw Patrol and you could kick your feet up. No, you teach them that, like, wait a second. Man, God's doing something. Why? When's the easiest time for a human being to learn a language? When they're really young. Well, understand, this is a whole new language here. Man, you teach them when they're little, what's going to happen? They're not going to depart from it. But we mix it up. We mix a little faith, a little country humor, and it's like, wait a second. That we're no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Man, I'm telling you, the devil has plotted this moment for centuries. But guess what? We've got that measure of faith. What is Mark 11, 22 said? The God kind of faith. Thanks. I want to thank you for coming. I just found out I'm closing. But I felt like that was a close, what I just did. But I didn't see any lighters come on or anything. This isn't an encore. But a lighter is, for you millennials, it's something that you'd light your cigarettes with. Or we didn't call them blunts back then in the day. Is that what they call them now? You could drink my, you could smoke my, don't touch my truck. You weren't allowed to touch my truck back in the day, but now we don't call it, they call them blunts now. Right, Taylor? I mean, medicinally. Man, thanks for coming. Let's all pray together. Father God, you're amazing. You're why we're here, God. You're why we live and breathe. We're so thankful. We're so appreciative that you're here with us. We get to be the ecclesia. We get to be your church, your people, your family, your sons and daughters. God, what an amazing life, a life of faith. God, we take the stand of faith. God, that tonight your word helped build our faith. God, my faith is strong. I'm victorious. Your word promises it. You always provide the victory. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God. I mean it. I'm going to heaven. God, speak to me clearly, definitively. God, that my clarity and my focus is sharp. God, I can sniff out the devil from a mile away. You're my rear guard. He can't sneak up on me. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. God, your word is amazing. And I hunger and thirst after it. So I'll be filled. God, thank you for discipling me. Making me stronger. What do we do now, God? Because we're down for whatever. God, you go, we go. the Lord just spoke to me, and it was real simple. You're going to receive unexpected resources, and it's going to be for unexpected opportunities. So just let that settle in your spirit. Take it or leave it. Unexpected resources for unexpected opportunities. It's not going to be like the chicken or the egg, which comes first. It's going to be, oh my gosh, look what just happened. This is amazing. But you know now, the next step of what you look for is the opportunity of why that happened, why that came into your life. Unexpected resources for unexpected opportunities as you go preach.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.